the rest of the story. During the war between the states, Johnny Reb was a northern slur for southerners. The epithet referred to no one southerner in particular. Or did it? For on January 20, 1862, in the black-draped hall of the Confederate Congress, there lay in state the lifeless body of Johnny Reb. Thousands of mourners passed the open casket to see him enshrouded in the Confederate flag and laden with a wreath of evergreens and white roses. Despite the war, the only business of the Confederate Congress that day had been to eulogize this fallen hero. The South bade its final farewell to Johnny Reb the following day. Confederate President Jefferson Davis led the list of dignitaries who crowded the service at St. Paul's Episcopal Church. Johnny Reb had requested a simple, quiet, unostentatious funeral, but what he got was a procession of 150 carriages that stretched a quarter mile through the streets of Richmond. That was down south. Anywhere up north, the death of Johnny Reb was privately celebrated. Celebrated. Publicly ignored. The mystery of why he should have been hated so. Well, that is the rest of the story. Johnny Reb was born on the Greenways estate a mile south of Charles City, Virginia. He was reared a southern gentleman. All his life, gentility was apparent in his soft features, warm, kind eyes. And while still a young man, Johnny was elected to the Virginia legislature, immediately cultivated a multitude of admirers. Johnny was long retired from political office when North-South tempers began flaring. But he was not among those fanning the flames. In fact, it was attempting to extinguish them that he emerged from the solitude of his estate on the James River. It was with hope of avoiding a full-scale conflagration that he joined the Southern Peace Convention. Johnny even headed a peace delegation, which met with Abe Lincoln himself. But all of the noble efforts failed, and Johnny returned home brokenhearted. Later, he would be elected to the Confederate Congress, although he would not live to assume the office. And for no more than this, he was despised throughout the North, even though he had done everything in his power to preserve the Union. He would be condemned for a generation as a traitor, as just another Johnny Reb. His wife insisted that she had predicted his death in a dream, a vision in which the details of Johnny's final illness were precisely depicted. Wife Julia was quite a believer in premonitions, but not even she could have forecast the irony of her husband's last years, of the awful scorn and derision to which his name would be subjected throughout the land which had once afforded him its highest honor. For you see, when Johnny passed away, the United States government issued no announcement, gave not the slightest official notice, and that has happened neither before nor since in all American history. But it happened to Johnny Reb, John Tyler, who had served barely 16 years before as President of the United States. And now, you know the rest of the story.